Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin First Half 2011 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, everybody, and welcome to the DiaSorin conference call. As usual, I will make some initial comments to the business, and then Mr. Andrea Sonnalli is going to drive everybody through the numbers. Let me start first with revenues by geography. In the U.S., at constant exchange rate, and this is very relevant because, as you all understand, the dollar exchange quarter two versus 2011 versus 2010 is now significantly shifting. At constant exchange rate, revenues are up 5.8% in quarter two versus last year and up 8.1% year to date. Vitamin D volume, after a weaker quarter one, as we have reported in the last conference call, the quarter one volume was quite weak, especially on the East Coast, now is up 18% versus last year, year to date. We have seen volume to resume after quarter one. Meeting most of our American colleagues in the last roadshow that we had in the U.S., I experienced personally the fact that most of the Americans now are getting tested for vitamin D during their annual physical check. Vitamin D is becoming part of their routine in the U.S. testing. However, as anticipated in the previous quarters, we feel more and more the effect of price erosion due to contract extension. This is the price, as we said, that we need to pay to have secured the vitamin D business in the U.S. in light of the possibility of competitors getting their products approved in the U.S. by year-end or beginning of next year. Fundamentally, the trends, as you know, in our U.S. business is driven by a volume of vitamin D increase, but a decrease of the average AUP for contract extension. In Europe, where in quarter two we are up 6.6% versus last quarter, whereas year to date we are up over 10%. I think that we need to analyze separately the direct countries versus the export activities in secondary markets. As you know, we report Europe altogether, so export markets, export business, and direct countries. In all the major countries, we are growing in quarter two as expected. France and Germany are up quarter to quarter 11%. Italy is up 7.3%, which is very good considering the overpenetration that we enjoy in this market. However, in certain secondary markets like Turkey, Greece, and North African countries, the business is stalling. Stalling means that it's flat compared to last year, and this is mainly driven by known economic conditions. Last, in Asia-Pacific and South America, which now represent over 20% of our overall business, the growth is still very strong. We clearly exceed all data reported by all our competitors, and we're now growing 51% in Asia-Pacific and over 30% in South America. This is driven by the success of the Liaison strategy with infectious disease and the oncology products. I think we already talked about this during the last calls. Nothing changed in those geographies, still very successful with these traditional products. As far as instrument placement are concerned, we installed 138 Liaisons in quarter two. However, in order to understand the real situation of the business, we need to take into account that in Europe, after the launch of the Liaison XL, which effectively happened in quarter one, placement of Liaisons has been significantly reduced due to the launch of the XL. We are now installing Excel rather than liaisons. As you know, previously we took the position not to report the Excel. However, to allow better clarity to our investors and shareholders, we decided to give visibility to the total Excel placement number that so far as of quarter two is of 38 units in the geography where we have initiated placements. And this excludes U.S., where, as you know, the placement will start later in the year. Last remark is for Murex. The business is in line with the previous quarter, so we are not losing business, even if some of this business is operated in certain difficult geographies. However, we see major delays in funding of the national tenders that have been awarded to the Azorin, but shipment of products has not started yet for the above-mentioned reason. And this is not only now for North Africa. So far, we have seen delays in tenders in countries where the political situation is difficult, but now we experience, even in certain regions of Asia-Pacific, delays in shipment of products because if the tender is awarded, the funding is delayed. And I believe that this is due to difficulties in the financial situation of certain governments are experiencing worldwide. I expect, however, that in Q3, Q4, most of the funds will be released, and the trends of the Murex business should go back to what we forecasted. However, sales lost in the first half of the year will not be recouped in the second half. Now, notwithstanding the slowdown on sales, Diasorin was able to increase its margin contribution, as you have seen, mainly for two reasons. First one is what is physiological, our business model. We are shifting revenues from lower margin technologies to higher margin technologies, so to the liaison that now represents over 72% of the total revenues. So this trend continues, and it is beneficial to us. However, we have been experiencing increased manufacturing efficiencies, especially in Italy and Germany, where increased volumes of infectious disease products and oncology products have been met without an increase in the workforce. So the efficiency of the manufacturing side is has been contributing to an improvement of the margins. Last, as you, some of you may have noticed, we revised our guidelines, and we still feel comfortable to be capable of making the top line number at constant exchange rate, whereas we believe that there is room for improvement on the EBITDA contribution. And now we foresee that the EBITDA contribution by year end will exceed 200 million euros. I'm going to now let Andrea drive you through the numbers, and then we will take questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlo. Good afternoon or good morning, ladies and gentlemen. What I will do is to take you through the usual presentation with a strong focus on the first 6 months and some details, particularly as P&L is concerned, of the second quarter of the year. Let me start from slide number one, where we recap the highlights of the quarter and the first 6 months. Carlo already extensively commented on revenues. I would just like to recap that quarter versus quarter, the second quarter of 2011 grew 15% at current exchange rate, with a growth rate and constant and comparable exchange rate of 20%. Similarly, in the first 6 months of the year, we grew 21% as reported, with an adverse exchange rate effect of about 2 percentage points. So constant exchange rate growth would have been 23.3. the growth was driven significantly by the emerging markets, which grew well above the double-digit mark, as well as from the steady enlargement of the liaison install base that, as Carlo commented already, grew in the quarter by 138, 271 in the first 6 months. We have now available an install base of liaisons of 3,912. As Carlo already mentioned, this install base does not include the install base of liaison Excels that in Europe now accounts for some 38 instruments. Coupled with the growth of the top line, we continue to experience an improvement at gross margin level. Gross margin grew by 16%, EBIT margins, operating margin grew by some 14% quarter versus quarter, 25% first 6 months versus first 6 months. And all in all, we recorded in the quarter an increase at net earnings of 19% and in the first 6 months of 31%. I would like just to spend a couple of minutes reminding you what are the key events that occurred during the first 6 months of the year. As far as the XL is concerned, for which the rollout is continuing, we received in the first quarter of 2011 clearance of the FDA, and we foresee the launch on this market later on this year. We had a couple of very important long-term agreements with key customers or key laboratory chains like Sonic Healthcare and Laboratory Corporation of America, LabCorp. And last, but certainly not least, as you may remember, we had announced to have reached an agreement with PFS, the Japanese manufacturer of instrumentation, for the development of an instrument to be run together with our nuclear acid testing panel. Now, if we go more into the details of the P&L, I would invite you to turn to slide number 3. We have already talked about the net revenue growth. As far as gross profit is concerned, we recorded $84 million in the quarter, which represents a ratio over turnover by 73%, which is an improvement not only versus previous year, so versus quarter 2 of 2010, but also quarter on quarter. So very positive months as far as our direct cost is concerned. As far as operational expenses concern, we had, after a fairly light quarter in quarter one, which is traditional, we had recorded $37.7 million in operational expenses with a slight increase of the ratio versus the previous year. I would like to point out that the quarter has been, to some extent, heavier than the previous one, because we executed one of the major events that takes place at the second year in the story, which is the gathering of almost 1,000 customers in Italy. Other operating income expenses have been in line versus previous year, so the same comparable quarter, which results all in all in an EBIT margin, so an operating margin of 39% at €45 million. And an EBITDA margin of 44.5%, either 51.5 million euros. The latter growing 16% versus the similar quarter of 2010. Net financial expenses, almost €1 million in the quarter. You may remember that in quarter one we had reported positive financial expenses. So all in all, this for 6 months results in still positive financial income. And the major driver of the difference between this year and previous year is the trend of exchange rate and the results on the cover, of the forward cover that you obtain on the hedging of the dollar. And last but not least, the tax in the quarter, $16 million, fairly comparable to previous year, with a tax rate which is around between 36-37%, and a net profit of $28 million. As you move to the next slide, where the first 6 months are represented, again, $227 million at the end of June of revenues, growth of 21.3%. Murex contributes for almost $18 million to this growth. The gross margin is positive versus the first 6 months of 2010. Improvement to the margin, as Carlo has already pointed out, is provided by efficiencies in the manufacturing site, as well as the structural improvement of the mix of the product we sell. Total operational expenses are growing by almost $12 million versus the $60 million in 2010, which results, however, in a lower incidence versus the turnover. So we're moving from 32% last year, just down 0.3 percentage points. I would like also to remind you that the first 6 months include now full consolidation of the newly opened operations in Australia, as well as the two manufacturing sites that last year were consolidated only as of the closing of the Murex acquisition in the second half of the year. Again, operating expenses are in line with the first 6 months of 2010, which results in a growth of the EBIT of 25%, with an improvement of 1 percentage point as far as margins concern, and a similar growth or higher growth of EBITDA, which is in the first 6 months above 100 million, so 101.4, with an EBITDA margin of 44.7% versus 43% last year. If we move down to the bottom line, the net result is now up 31%, so 56 million versus 43 million last year, with a tax charge of 33 million in the first 6 months. And again, fair stability of the tax rate. Now, as we move to some more details of the profit and loss line on slide number six, you can find the usual representation of the composition of our portfolio by technology. So as you can see, chemiluminescence, so the liaison line in our accounts, if you take out the effect of Murex, which distorts the picture, is accounting for 73%. Up 5 percentage points of contribution versus last year, clearly at the expenses of the traditional, traditionally mature markets like RIA and ELISA, whereas instruments remain fairly constant around the 10% mark. The liaison sales have been growing 20% current exchange rate in the first 6 months of this year versus previous year, driven clearly by the continuous expansion of bone and mineral metabolism products, infectious disease, and the prenatal screening panel. And we already discussed the enlargement of the installed base. As we move to geography, Can already mentioned some of the performance by area. Let me just recap the first 6 months. Europe and Africa up 10%. Versus 2010, Latin America 45% versus 2010, Asia Pacific more than 50% versus previous year, and North America is 2% at current exchange rate, but strongly affected adversely clearly by the devaluation of the US dollar, particularly as far as the second quarter of the year. In fact, at comparable exchange rate, the growth of the North American market is 8.1%. Couple of outliers in Europe, France continues steadily to grow above 20%, and Germany is very close by with a growth rate 6 months versus 6 months of 17%. Brazil is clearly the strongest contribution to Latin American growth, but Mexico is reporting growth rate of 25% at comparable exchange rate. And China is strongly contributing to the success of the Asia-Pacific region. I already commented most of the improvement in profitability. Let me just recap. Gross margin up 22%, 6 months, half year versus half year. EBITDA 26% and EBIT 25%. So all the key margin indicators are growing more than proportionally to the top line. With clearly an improvement in the ratio to the total sales, as well as the net result. As far as the balance sheet is concerned, I would like to mention a couple of things. First of all, the net financial position, which we have reported as positive for 23 million at the end of June. Let me just remind you that the deterioration versus the position at the 31st of December has been caused by the exercise, the buyback exercise of our own shares, which costed some 25 million. plus the distribution of dividend, which took place in the second half of June for another 22 million. We continue to deliver significant cash flow at operational level. In the first 6 months, we deliver 49 million, almost 50 million of operational cash flow before capex of 12, which compares to the performance of 40 million previous year before capex of 12. The net working capital is driven up fundamentally by increase of inventories and of receivables following mainly the development of our business. We do experience some deterioration in the DSO in particular areas which are subject to some tension in liquidity, and I'm referring to Southern European markets, although we don't see, and no, we do foresee an increase in the risk of our receivables. And inventories are growing also on the back of a continuous movement and a continuous cautious effort in increasing the safety stock of some very key raw materials for the growth of the company. As we move, I think we have commented most of the financial or the cash flow performance. Let me just point out at the end of the quarter we had 45 million in cash available at banks. And as we move to the guidance, Carlo has already pointed out that we have confirmed revenues in the for between 465 and 475 million euros, which represent a growth rate of 15% versus previous year. We continue to feel comfortable about the number yearly placement of 600 units between Liaison and Liaison XL. And on the back of the strong performance of EBITDA and EBITDA margins in the first 6 months, we are now raising the guidance of EBITDA above 200 million from the previous in the range of 200 million. Now, last but not least, let me use the conference just to remind that in October we will hold in three sessions and three different locations, Milan, London and New York, an Investor Day, which will be aimed to represent what we believe will be the next course of medium term. And I believe that by now all of you should have already received a placeholder for your diaries on the dates, which are 17th, 18th, and 20th of October. This is as much as I wanted to say on the presentation. I would now leave the floor to a question and answer session. Thank you very much for listening.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Andrew Olano of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. I just have three quick questions. First, on developed markets, you made some commentary about the fact that the growth rates that you've generally been guiding to weren't realizable in the first half and that that wouldn't be recouped. Could you then give us some sense of what you think on a year basis growth rates in Europe and North America should look like? Then secondly, if we look at the emerging markets, you've had supernatural growth in terms of how fast it's growing. Is that something that we should think about as sustainable over the period of the year? And then thirdly, on the Liaison XL, clearly your placements are a little bit behind so far this year, your guidance, assuming the second half mirrors the first half. Have you seen, as far as the last couple of months go, an indication that we will see the kind of instrument pickup that we need to meet and exceed your guidance? Thanks.
Okay, listen, I will answer in a reverse order. Starting from the Excel, I don't think that we are behind our guideline. We said that the combined number of Liaison and Liaison Excel for the year would exceed 600, and I think that if you add the Liaison and the XL for the first half, you will see that the trend is going to take us, it's taking us exactly where we said we're going to be. Keep in mind that as far as the Excel is concerned and the menu, which is fundamentally HIV and hepatitis and HCV, because of the liability of the product, there is an evaluation phase, which typically lasts longer than other, let me say, commodity products. Okay? So if you take that in consideration, then you may estimate that in the second half, clearly the number of your own placements should increase versus what we have seen in the first half. Now, the second question was Asia Pacific, Latin America. Yes, I think that we've been experiencing those trends consistently over the last few quarters, and from what we see right now, unless there is anything in these geographies that we show up as an issue from a financial point of view, so nothing to do with the business, I expect this trend to continue. Now, your first question was related to
the developed world.
So you're saying now developed market means Europe and the U.S. In your
definition? I'm saying clearly. Sorry, please go ahead.
Okay, so as far as U.S. is concerned, I think that I foresee a volume of vitamin D, which traditionally slows down over the summer holiday, and then it picks up again. So overall, if you measure it over Q3 and Q4, I see no reason why the trend should not continue in terms of volume increase, and this is what I believe also the labs have reported during their conference calls. However, what we see is an effect of pricing, and to be honest with you, this is quite difficult for us to estimate on a quarter-to-quarter basis because it has to do on the rollout of all different agreements. It has to do with the fact that certain customers delay orders until the new agreement is signed because then they would benefit from the new price. So let me say, predicting on a short-term base, so on a month-to-month base, what is the effect of this is quite difficult. However, if I need to give you my estimate, I think that we have an increase of volume that overall will sit between 15% and 20%, and we will have for vitamin D an increase of revenues that should be below 10% as an effect of pricing now becoming full, let me say, having a full effect and full impact on our U.S. revenues.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Philippa Gardner of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi there. I've got a couple of questions, if I could. First of all, I was just trying to sort of understand some of the underlying trends in the liaison placements. Now, on the first quarter, you said that there had been a hold-up in around 20 machines because of an issue with a component, and I was just wondering, did you see that rebound back in the second quarter? And then my second question is just on some of the comments regarding increasing the manufacturing efficiency. Can you maybe quantify what that might mean in terms of margin improvements, please? Thank you.
I will take the first question, and then Andrea is going to take the second question. As far as the liaison is concerned, so without the Excel, yes, in fact, we had a 20 system rollout from Q1 to Q2. However, we had roughly the same number of systems stuck in custom in Brazil. In fact, this is seen also in our inventory level. Inventory level as of June was particularly high because we had this system in transit which was stuck, and so rather than going to customers, are sitting in our inventory, which were then released in July. However, I think that what is important to realize here is that the launch of the Liaison XL, as we have predicted, has fundamentally frozen placements in Europe. And so, and this was expected because customers at this point don't want to get the old box, they want to get a new box. And so the geography now where the Liaisons are going, the Liaison, the traditional Liaison is going, is very different from what we have seen in 2010. So the European number is fairly low, and the other and the systems are going a lot in the emerging markets. So Asia Pacific and Latin America, where we don't proceed to launch the XL. So customers, don't slow down orders because of the XL, and the infectious disease and oncology strategy is pushing strong replacements. Now, Andrea, as far as the first question is concerned.
Okay, Philippa, as far as the contribution from manufacturing synergies, in the quarter you can account by about 1 percentage point, which represents the difference between quarter one and quarter two in 2011. Now, this, I believe, is an effect that is sustainable in the future quarters as well, although you should not expect an additional improvement.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
The next question is from Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. Carlo, you spoke about price erosion on vitamin D. Taking this by the side for a moment, can you elaborate a little bit more on the underlying trend in the U.S. market? Many companies in the healthcare space are talking about a slowdown. I was wondering if you can expand on that. And the second question is on the XL placement. And did I understand correctly that you will start to place the new machine in U.S., that you started already at the end of Q2?
Okay, let me comment on the U.S. First. I think that if we look at, all the other products that we sell in the U.S., I think that our business is suffering the same way everybody else, I believe, is reporting by the slowdown, okay? So, we all serve the same customers, so what other companies are reporting, it is what we are experiencing. However, the vast majority of our business in the U.S. is as we have reported, vitamin D. So the trend that we see on vitamin D are the one that we have discussed before, so increase in volume and price effect. There is one more component that makes this Sudoku extremely difficult to understand, which is the mix in terms of sales to LabCorp, which does follow a certain price, versus the mix of sales that is going to direct customers and other labs, that clearly, or Cardinal, which clearly enjoy a different price structure. And this is why, depending on where the volume of LabCorp goes, the fact that they get awarded with a large contract and so forth, the average unit price that you can measure on vitamin D on demand can significantly swing. So it is very difficult for us to predict what the AUP trend really is, and it's going to be on a month-by-month basis. Now, your second question was on the Liaison XL. As you know, in the U.S., we have an agreement with our main customer in the U.S. To install first the XL in their premises. And we We have scheduled the initial installation and evaluation of the Excel in summer. So it did not happen in quarter two for their own internal reasons. And the installation is foreseen to start now and to be completed by the end of September. And after the evaluation and validation, we finished, and there is a lot of plans in the premises, which will take 3 quarters, because we're talking about a significant number of systems and labor machines in the U.S.
Okay, so am I correct in saying that the Excel it's ideally it's an ideal machine for the U.S. So I may expect a very good uptake in placing when you will be selling it in U.S. Or is it almost as the old machine?
Let me put it in a different way. Yes, the U.S. is, the Excel is a system that's been designed for high-throughput labs. And it's been a system that has been specifically designed for the defensive strategy on vitamin D because of the throughput of the system. So it's ideal for us in the U.S. because it allows to go to the very large U.S. customers and replace the liaison and fend off competition or arguments the competition may have on the fact that the current liaison platform may be not adequate for large throughput labs. It is also a system that it is viable for the U.S. market because of the size. However, please remember that in the U.S. We decided to run a strategy which is a strategy focused on two clinical areas, which is one is infectious disease and the other one is bone and mineral and vitamin D. So for the typical infectious disease account that we have seen at the hospital level, the liaison is good enough. And this is why in the USA you're going to see placements of liaison Excel more skewed on vitamin D and liaisons more skewed on infectious disease, in my very humble opinion.
Thank you very much. Very clear.
The next question is from Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just to follow up on your previous comment, you seem rather gloomy on the prospects for infectious diseases in the U.S. with Liaison XL. Can you sort of elaborate a little bit more on where the opportunity lies in infectious diseases? Obviously, the LabCorp contract captures that. Secondly, in terms of launch of new tests into the U.S., could you talk what tests we could expect to see in the U.S. On either instrument over the course of the coming month? Thirdly, I note in your statement that there's transaction fees captured in interest and other financial expense. Can you elaborate on what they are? Because I don't think I've ever seen you comment on that before. And finally, there seems to be quite a big difference between your cash tax paid and your P&L tax paid. Maybe Andrea could address. I think you've highlighted that you there were some income taxes owed by U.S. and South African subsidiaries. But maybe Andrea could sort of give us a little more color on that one as well. Thank you.
Martin, I'll take the first one. To me, gloomy these days is a different definition, to be honest with you. I just said something different. I said that in the U.S., the Liaison Excel fits very well the large accounts that today need a very high throughput for the vitamin D. That doesn't mean that for this kind of accounts, the infectious disease will go on the Liaison Excel, and this is in fact the plan. We offer to these large labs the Liaison Excel opportunity, but then we ask them to adopt the Excel also for the infectious disease volume, which is very significant. However, when you go down to the hospital level, where the infectious disease business, the infectious disease volumes is not as high as in the centralized lab, the Liaison is good enough. And this is why I'm saying that in the U.S. I can see the two platforms coexisting on more driven by the account size rather than the clinical area. So I'm not gloomy at all on the liaison exam.
Good.
Okay. Andrea?
Martin, let me first of all address taxes because I'm not sure I understand the point. You're referring to what we paid according to the cash flow statement versus what we accrued in the P&L?
Yes, there just seems to be a larger difference than usual.
I think you're talking about $1.5 million, probably.
I thought it was larger than that, but I'll bow to your judgment.
First 6 months is 32.8, cash flow statement is 31.2. Now, the difference is clearly related to the pattern that we have to follow in order to pay taxes. You know, in Italy, for instance, we do pay taxes in two installments. We have a balance on the previous year, which is paid in June, as well as the first advance payment, which again is based on the profit of the previous year, and the balance is then paid in the second installment in November and in the third installment June the following year. So that is fully explained by the difference between what we accrue
okay.
in terms of tax provision and the cash flow.
And the transaction costs?
You're referring to the financial expenses?
Yes.
Now, the majority of this is explained by the movement of the forward cover between and the effect of the mark-to-market pricing versus the dollar. Now, as you may remember, quarter one closed still with a very favorable dollar, where quarter two the dollar plummeted. Now, we do hedge our cash flow in dollars, and that's the only currency fundamentally that we hedge, using forward cover, so forward sales. Now, the mark-to-market value of those sales have moved in a very different way in the two quarters. And that all in all results in the first 6 months in a still a positive 1.8. Now, there is a second element to this in the quarter, which has to do with the cost that we have to bear for factoring out our receivables in Italy. In the second quarter of the year, we have factored out a higher than normal amount simply because we had a dedicated sale of receivables related to some regions of the Italian healthcare system. So in the second quarter we had something like 800,000 additional euros of additional commissions on factoring operations.
Okay. And sorry, just to come back to my other question about the US in terms of test approvals and rollouts, anything particular we should be expecting? Anything you prepare to highlight?
Yes, we got the approval of we started to market the measles and mumps, which complete the MMRV panel, which is the one that is generally used in the big labs for immunity testing. So that for us is an opportunity in the big labs. And then we decided to initiate a program whereby by the end of next year we are going to take to the U.S. a series of endocrinology products that will fit well with our vitamin D install base. But Martin, this is something that I really want to cover more during the Investor Day, and this is why I'm a little stingy on the information we are releasing, otherwise we take away the flavor of the Investor Day.
I'll be patient until then.
Be patient, please, yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Brigitte De Lima of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I just have another follow-up question on the liaison Excel. It's just really clarification. I may have misunderstood something you said, but in the press release it says somewhere that you've installed the liaison Excel at over 20 benchmark labs in Europe and Israel. Should I understand that you've placed at least 20 systems, or are these systems that are currently placed in lab for initial assessments but they're not covered by contracts yet and therefore not generating revenues, or how should I interpret these installments?
No, I think you should interpret these differently, meaning that we placed 38 systems in at customer sites, but in certain customer sites we had multiple installations.
Now, okay, but I guess the key question then is also
your question, you're right in thinking that we do not include those numbers in the overall install base because they are yet not generating revenues.
That's what I was alluding to. Are they already covered by a contract, or are the customers still evaluating them? So you don't actually know if these systems will stay in the labs where they've been installed at the moment.
The systems will stay in the labs. Some of those are covered by contract and in fact are generating revenue. Some are there because, especially in the field of HIV and hepatitis, is a tender business, so there's been an evaluation, successful, tender awarded, and then we will start selling. Listen, you don't take a piece of equipment like the Liaison XL into a lab just for the fun of showing it. So usually you install it and in places where you know there is a business opportunity and the system stays there.
Now, I was just wondering, because I presume some customers try different systems and they're happier with one than the other, and they may return systems that they're not interested in. But it does sound like the systems are installed, as you're saying, they will start generating revenues at some point. That clarifies it. Thank you.
Yep.
The next question is from Giacomo Picchetto of Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Hello, Giacomo Picchetto from Banksys. Just three questions. The first is on an overall feeling on the market. Some diagnostic companies are saying that they've seen some pressure due to the, let's say, economic environment and so some potential of slowdown demand from public spenders, and also due to the unemployment in U.S., some demand for diagnostic could slow down. If you can comment on that overall. Second, if I understood right, your guidance is at current currency exchange, right? So for the time being, currency exchange, not at the year beginning of the year. I didn't understand it quite clearly. And last thing on buyback, I've seen that you made some buyback in the first quarter, in the first half. If you have any indication for the rest of the year, thank you.
Listen, I'm going to take two of those. Buyback done, completed, and there is no intention to do another buyback. As far as the economical situation and impact on business, I think we have already commented on that. As far as the U.S. is concerned, we are not different from anybody else. There is a slowdown in visits. Part of our business has been suffering from that, but vitamin D is fortunately presenting us with different dynamics driven on volume increase. Okay. As far as Europe is concerned, to be honest with you, we've not seen any financial impact on business per se. What we have seen in certain countries is a delay in payment terms. And so even in countries where usually payment terms are very good, there has been a delay of a few days. The only country that is outstanding as far as payment is concerned is Spain, for some very known reasons. And now we are collecting in Spain over 365 days. Fortunately enough, Spain represents a very tiny proportion of our business.
As far as the guidance is concerned, I think that Carlo hinted before to the fact that that guidance is built on a constant exchange rate assumption vis-a-vis last year, which means if the dollar further deteriorates and continues to deteriorate as it did in the second quarter, that guidance will be difficult to achieve.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Patrick Fuchs of RSM. Please go ahead.
Hello, I have again a question to the US. I mean, we saw a slowdown to 6% constant exchange rate growth in the US, for sure on the back on high comps on the last quarters. But looking forward, I mean, you mentioned 10% for vitamin D, and you have a let's say, company guidance of growing double digit or stronger than 10%. What is your look on? What is your view on the U.S. Going forward? Once now the comps get not so tough anymore. The second question is relating to the costs in Q2. You said it was heavy due to the conference. Can we assume that this is a peak in Q2 on the OPEX cost side? And just to clarify on the XL launch in the US, what tests are approved in the US to be run on the XL? I mean, I saw on the FDA side the HIV test, but what about the others? Thanks.
Let me take care of the XL, and then Andrea will look into talk about the OPEX. The XL, as you know, there is a policy in the U.S. Whereby it's called migration policy, which means that if the reagent, so the product stays the same, but you just change the system, as long as you can prove equivalency of the results, you don't need to file. So the products which are available on the Liaison are available on the Liaison XL. It's just a matter of internal validation, so no further filing is required.
Okay.
Now, as far as the growth rate in the U.S., I think that we extensively covered this before, because it's all driven by the volume and mix, and price decrease of vitamin D. And so vitamin D, again, represents the majority of our U.S. business. If you take what I said before on vitamin D, pretty much you have a view on what we expect from our U.S. revenues in 2011. OPEX?
As far as OPEX is concerned, Patrick, yes, you're right in thinking that quarter two is a sort of a peak if you account for the commercial additional expenses. In fact, if I look at the budget for the next 6 months of the year, so the following 6 months of the year, on average, we are going to be around that mark.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from Maura Garbero of One Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. You have been talking about the coexistence of the Liaison and the Liaison XL in the U.S. market. So I was wondering if you could give us an overview for the European market and also whether you have seen any...
Excuse me for interrupting. Could you just repeat your question and raise a little your voice because it's very low?
Yeah, let me try again. I was wondering if you can give some color on the coexistence of the Liaison and the Liaison XL in Europe and whether you are seeing any sort of cannibalization from the new launch. And you've been saying that, for example, some of your customers decided to put on hold their orders because they are waiting for the new machine. Thank you.
In Europe, as we stated from the beginning, we are using a different strategy in order to minimize the cannibalization. We are launching the system fundamentally for HIV, HCV, and hepatitis, which is not available on the Liaison. And so we are trying to drive placements using this strategy versus new customers simply because the Liaison is not there. And this is regarding the, let me say, the new business. Now, as far as the infectious disease is concerned, those accounts that don't have a Liaison for infectious disease, rather than ordering the Liaison, they order the Liaison itself. So in that sense, you freeze the availability of Liaison, and once you make the Liaison XL available. The only example, in terms of cannibalization of these 38 accounts, very minimum. The only case where in Europe we are voluntarily cannibalizing the Liaison again is in these few large labs, especially in certain geographies like France or Germany, where there is a certain volume of vitamin D, and for the same reason that are clear in the U.S., high volume of vitamin D are run in those labs, and therefore Liaison XL is a relief for the customer. But again, the big difference is that the number of these labs doing high volume vitamin D in Europe is much small, or much smaller than what happens in the U.S.
Thank you. And then a follow-up, if I may. Are you still requiring a higher percentage of volumes when you place a Liaison XL compared to the normal Liaison?
Yes. The guideline that we gave for placement to our commercial organization is that we expect a certain threshold of sales, which is 30% over what we, the guideline that we have been using for the Liaison.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. There is a follow-up question from Andrew Olano of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Mr. Olano, your line is open.
Sorry, I'm having a bit of phone difficulties. So I just went to the AACC conference last week, and broadly what I was hearing around the market is that things have been slowing within immunoassays and clinical chemistry. Now, that's, of course, driven a little bit by price as volumes continue to grow fast. While you guys are focused on the specialty market, so you stand out in your ability to get growth, are you seeing any more incremental pressure because of the current recessionary environment? And if so, how what are the ways around it?
I believe we covered this before. Yes, we did. In the traditional business, because we still have a base of traditional business, we have seen a slowdown in immunoassay consumption. In the non-traditional business, which is some of the infectious disease, like the parvovirus and so forth, we have not seen that because these tests are not screening assays, but clearly are associated with a clinical situation of the patient, so that we have not seen. And vitamin D, as we said, is a whole different story and follows a different dynamic.
Okay. And again, sorry, sometimes the line quality is a little bit poor, so I can't always hear exactly what's being said. And then just one more follow-up question on vitamin D. Given the price discounting that you've been doing in order to procure longer-term contracts, when more or less could we expect a negative price effect to annualize? Would it be Q2 of next year, or would it be not until Q3?
Listen, I believe that we should get to a running rate by Q4 of this year. So at that point, we will have the full effect of pricing. I will be, I think, more precise during the discussion on the quarter three result, because the problem we are having today is, I said that the AUP, since there is a very big difference between what some of the large labs are paying and from what hospitals and Cardinal is paying, depending on the way the monthly order goes and the ability of these large labs to win very large contracts that clearly increase the vitamin D volume, we see swings today that are not really settled. So I believe that by the next conference call, we'll be able to give a better guidance on this. But as I said before, quarter four should see the bottom of the pricing.
Sure. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Mr. Rosa, Mr. Sanaldi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.